gratitude goes out to you today for listening to Eco Radio KC on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is a locally made exploration into positive solutions to some of today's ecological challenges for all of us working to create a healthier future for our communities and for the world you live in.
Here's a recipe for you. Chop up some Oscar Mayer wieners, stir in Heinz ketchup, blend with Cool Whip and Maxwell House coffee, sprinkle Planters peanuts over the mixture, add A1 steak sauce, then top it with Cheese Whiz and blast it in the microwave. Sounds like a gloppy mess, but an even messier version was cooked up in 2015 when Kraft Foods merged with H.J. Heinz, thus conglomerating more than 200 brand-name products, including all of the above, into one $28 billion a year behemoth. The combine was hailed at the time as a whiz-bang deal that would prove that bigger is always better. Apparently not. 4 years later, Kraft Heinz's sales have slumped, profits are tumbling, its stock price has plummeted by half in the last year, investors are bailing out, shareholders are suing, regulators are investigating, employees are dispirited, and, well, as some business journalists have put it, the mega merger is a mega mess. The Kraft Heinz consolidation was engineered from outside by a Brazilian corporate takeover outfit named 3G, in cahoots with U.S. buyout buccaneer Warren Buffett. They are ideological disciples of the old orthodoxy that the sole responsibility of corporate executives is to jack up the stock price and profits for big shareholders, in this case, themselves. Their self-serving approach to increasing Kraft Heinz's profit was to squeeze costs, meaning squeezing out experienced managers, workers, product development, and the vibrancy of the corporation itself, which has steadily squeezed out their own profits. This is Jim Hightower saying, this old model of self-enrichment through corporate takeover, consolidation, and contraction turns out to be not just bad morals, but bad business. It's time for us, the media, and public officials to start saying no to merger mania.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
Thanks for listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. My name is Teresa Wilkie. We're glad you've tuned in to Eco Radio KC. On today's program, during our fall pledge drive, our guests are grower Kathy Dean, president of Uplift, and After the Harvest Gleaning Network manager, Zach Calloway. After the Harvest rescues nutritious fruits and vegetables from going to waste and donates them to agencies that serve hungry people. Their volunteers glean after the harvest. This helps secure semi-truckloads of produce that might otherwise end up in landfills. After the Harvest is a 501c3 nonprofit and the largest local produce donor to Harvesters, the Community Food Network. But first, the environmental news for the week of 10/14. In California, multiple fires are raging across the state. These fires have occurred as the public utilities Southern California Edison and Pacific Gas and Electric have implemented blackouts across the state to prevent wildfires, leaving hundreds of thousands of people without power. Investigators found the poorly maintained transmission lines sparked the campfire last November. Climate scientists say hotter and drier conditions across California due to rising greenhouse gas emissions have made wildfires more widespread and more intense. This is the same in Bolivia, South America, where heavy rains over the Amazon have brought raging fires under control after nearly 10 million acres of land burned over the last 2 months. In New York City, over 60 protesters were arrested last week after shutting down an intersection in the heart of Times Square. More than 700 activists from Sydney to New York City have been arrested in coordinated climate protests across the globe as activists with Extinction Rebellion shut down streets and occupied public landmarks to demand action on the climate crisis. A study by the University of New Mexico found that hundreds of Navajo women presented alarming levels of uranium in their systems, even decades after mining of the radioactive metal ended on the reservation. A group of babies also showed uranium levels far higher than the national average. 16-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg met with indigenous youth climate leaders last week as she visited the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota. KCUR reports Fort Leonard Wood is home to more than 6,000 soldiers and at least 3 endangered species. They're protected and cared for, despite living among shelling and other military training, and scientists flock to the installation, saying it's a boon to their research and gives them the opportunity to help the animals. EPA reports they've honored 3 local top performers in the freight industry with their annual SmartWay Excellent Awards: Woody Bogler Trucking Company, Bold Transportation Incorporated, Shilly Corporation, Trans Am Trucking. Congratulations all. Now, our show.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Fall Pledge Drive with Eco Radio, and today we will be also talking with some folks from After the Harvest and help us out, Panta, real quick.
Masewa Kuali Farms.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And we'll be talking about giving. Giving is the theme today, and also sustainability. So sustainability and giving are what we're talking about each week, really, on our program. It's about sustainability. And when I think of sustainability, I think about the future and how we can move forward in the future in a positive light and keep each other going. And so there are some ways that that you can give to KKFI, and there are some great things that you get in return for that. The way that you give is, right now you can talk to our lovely people in the radio lounge here next door. They're waiting to take your calls at 888-931-0901.
Or online at kkfi.org.
Thank you, Brent. Yes. Yeah. Brent Ragsdale, our co-host here, has given his time, just like a lot of us have, and that's a great way to give. And so today we're asking specifically, though, for your donations. We really appreciate your gifts that you could give us, and in return we can give you some gifts if you just call 888-931-0901.
Yeah, let me tell you about that. But first, as we say on the radio, let's talk about those key words, sustaining and growing, because it's right here on my sheet. Sustaining donors are growing at KKFI.
They are, yeah.
So to be a sustaining donor means that you give us your credit card information, and we bill your credit card once a month.
Yes, and you
it's
just
a very
you
handy
give it,
and
you
easy
give it
way
to one of our phone operators, and they don't give it to anyone else other than our treasurer, and it's very secure, and it's a safe way to support the station. And to sustain the station.
If you do that for this Fall Fund Drive, we have some fantastic gifts. If you give at the $7.50 a month level, you can get a KKFI pint beer glass, which is pretty awesome. I may have to up my bid just to get that. The next level up for $10 a month is a KKFI scarf, and there are two options, the new logo and the vintage 1988. Logo from KKFI, so if you're an old-timer and have worn that other one out, you can get a replacement. There's always the ever-popular guest DJ certificate. So I have done this for a friend who just had an absolute blast being a DJ. So if you would give us $12.50 a month or $150 one time, you or a friend could be the DJ at KKFI for an hour. You get to pick the music, and you get to direct what comes out of our 100-watt antenna, which
that's
is
awesome.
Cool.
That's so fun to do. And I've been with people when they were doing it, and they had a blast. So it's a really good time. So we're trying to get $500 during our program today. It's not a huge goal to make it to, but please help us with that by calling 888-931-0901. And we really are counting on you. That's what's kept the station alive for the 30 years that it's been going. And now's really the time to help us out with that. We need you. So give us a call. And and we'll be back in just a minute with After the Harvest and more gleaning and giving.
KKFI is brought to you by you. Thank you for over 30 years of community support.
KKFI is hosting a community ascertainment forum on Thursday, October 24th at the station, 39th and Main, Kansas City, Missouri, second floor. Community leaders will make short presentations about the activities of their organizations. Doors open at 5:15 and the program starts at 6 p.m. Please join us on October 24th for the community ascertainment forum.
All right, so today we are talking about giving and so many ways that people are given in the community in Kansas City. And we're focusing mostly today on giving food and the way that people are sharing that with other people here in Kansas City. And there's some wonderful people here in our studio who do that in different ways. And I'm so grateful that you all made it today. Thank you so much for coming, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And so we're going to start with Kathy Dean. If you wouldn't mind starting us off, tell us just a bit about who you are, what you do for your work, and then you can get into some of your growing endeavors.
Thank you. As you said, my name is Kathy Dean, and the reason that I started with my garden is I run an organization that we feed the homeless, and I decided to plant, it was about a city acre lot, decided to plant tomatoes and squash and the whole, all the vegetables. I wanted to sell my tomatoes for $1 a pound, and I gave all the rest of the vegetables to the homeless shelter, because that's what Uplift does. We serve the homeless, about 400 a night, every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday night, we're out on the streets serving. So I had done that for about 9 years and decided I needed to take a little bit further step into it. So I called a friend of mine and said, would you be willing to plant corn? We had a 33-acre field, and I said, would you plant corn for me in that field? And he, after he stopped laughing, he explained to me that, do you realize that 20,000 ears of corn per acre? And I said, no, I did not. So he talked me into going over to another area that I did not own, but I rent from him. And we planted 2 acres of corn. And it was just going to be my husband and I. We started picking the corn and realized almost immediately that this is way more than 2 people can do. And I was at the Westside Can Center. I had picked 600 pounds and I was taking it into them. And just about on my last step that I could take for the day, and a wonderful woman there said to me, have you ever heard of After the Harvest? I said, no, but please give me their number. And from that minute, I called them when I got to my car, and they came out the next day and started picking the corn. And from that was in 2017. We did it 2018, and I just let them do it. I mean, I help, I pick, but it's all them. And we did it again this year in 19.
That's wonderful. All right. Mm-hmm. And so we'll hear more about After the Harvest. Many of our listeners may know about After the Harvest, but let's go with another grower, Pantaleon Flores. You also grow food, and tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got into that.
I do. So I run Masaiwala Quality Farms, and it's just me in North Lawrence on about 3/4 of an acre. My farm is no-till and also no fossil fuel machine. So I'm trying to really find ways to make sustainable agriculture work without using fossil fuel machinery, kind of stepping away from that kind of thing, keeping it in the ground. And in addition to growing for restaurants and for farmers market sales, I also have a food donation program that I've called the Unsuspended Food Project. Maybe some people out there have heard of a suspended coffee, where you go in, you buy your own coffee, you buy a coffee for somebody else, they put a little post-it on the wall, and someone can come and take that and cash it in for a coffee. I do it a little bit reversed. I just get the food to where I know it needs to be, and then attempt to fundraise on the back end. Yeah, so that's how that program works. In addition to that, I'm also a community food cook. So I've cooked with organizations like Food Not Bombs. There's also an organization near KU's campus called the Ecumenical Campus Ministries, and they do a free veggie lunch every Thursday. And so I really try to diversify how I'm kind of giving back, not only giving back produce directly, that's right after market, but also, you know, getting and cooking for the community as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So what would you say has inspired this kind of giving spirit in you, Kathy? What do you think? Why do you do this?
It's just who I am. I can't remember a day that if I had something and somebody needed it, I would give it. That's just who I am. Mm-hmm. But with the dealing with the homeless people, it's just so amazing when somebody is at the back of the truck and they're holding their hands up for a bowl of food to see how much they need it, and I'm just blessed to have the ability to do a little extra. And that's started with, like I said, the tomatoes and then corn, and who knows where it'll end.
Wow, that's great. And then, and Ponte, also, I know you've done some work with education, you've worked mm-hmm. with young people, and it sounds like you also have a kind of a generous spirit about you, you know, giving some of your time.
Yeah.
So why do you think that is? What does it do for you?
It comes from having been hungry. It comes from being personally food insecure. It's something I'm really open and talk about now that I was, you know, not as welcome to talking about a couple years ago, but as a graduate student at KU, there were times where it was literally, okay, rent is X amount of dollars, food is X amount of dollars, let's skip a meal today and make sure everything gets paid for. And so I'm just the kind of person who has been in that position and wants to not see anybody else in that place in the future.
Wow, yeah. And so there are some organizations that are out there to help people out. And one of those is here with us today, After the Harvest.
And, yes, that's right.
We're so glad you're here, Zach. So tell us just a bit about what you all do.
Sure. So After the Harvest, we provide fresh, healthy produce to hungry people around the greater Kansas City area. And we've kind of got the coolest job in the world because we get to work with generous growers like the ones that are here today. And they donate excess produce, and then we distribute that to food pantries, shelters, really any agency that's working to feed hungry people in our area. And so we do that by actually going in the field. So we have teams of volunteers who will do gleanings. A gleaning is a harvest of leftover crops after the initial commercial harvest. We also, like Kathy, actually have growers who will grow specifically for us, so we're getting the good stuff, the stuff you can eat straight out of the field most of the time. It's pretty great. We also pick up leftover produce at the end of farmers markets around town, and we will pick up pre-harvested produce from farmers directly if they've got extra bushels that they just want us to come pick up. And the last thing we do is we raise funds to secure semi-truck loads of produce, so those are usually about 40,000 pounds, that we wow. bring in from around the nation to the Kansas City area for distribution.
Wow. So lots of food. Yeah, I've seen statistics on the amount of food that comes through y'all, and it's just amazing how much you guys are doing and how much it's grown over the past few years.
Yeah, too. It's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So how long have you been with the organization?
So I've been involved with After the Harvest since 2018 and then been in this position now for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. So if you are inspired, listeners, to be doing some giving today, I just want to remind you guys, this is their pledge drive, 9310901. If you like hearing about sustainability and about important issues affecting your health and the environmental health of those around you, this is one of the only venues out there that offers that kind of information. And so if you call 888-931-0901 now, we've got some great volunteers who are here to take your calls, so please do that now. 888-931-0901. This is the time to do that. And so we'll if you forget that number, stay around. We'll be pitching that throughout the program. But hopefully you're feeling generous. If not, we're gonna keep talking about it. We're gonna keep hitting you over the head with how wonderful some people are out there. Because it's great, it's inspiring. Hopefully you're inspired not just for KKFI support, but just to do some giving of your own. So yeah, After the Harvest has been doing this for a while, right?
Yeah, since 2014, we hit 5 years this year.
That's great, and it's yeah. I mean, just the growth of the organization is really inspiring, and that this was just somebody's idea, and it's taken off over the past few years. So. So you get you've got some growers that give specifically, or that grow specifically to give. Is that right? Kathy is one of those people.
Correct. Yes, she is, and we have other growers who just wonderful folks. A lot of faith-based and community organizations that will grow, and they know that we can come and we have the distribution capacity, so they will grow far more than they could ever maybe harvest on their own. But we are happy to help distribute that.
Can you tell us about any specific people that stick out as real generous souls or people who you think is just how can they go through all this work just to give
yeah,
it away?
Yeah, I mean, we have several. I mean, I can think of one of our gardeners over in Lee or Lone Jack, Missouri, and it's sort of a one-man operation, and he's out there, you know, he's got probably a quarter acre or so that he's growing for us, and cabbage, greens, potatoes, just stuff year-round, basically. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and all just for donation.
Exactly, yeah.
That's great. So it's that's not a big operation. A quarter acre is pretty small. And so there's no operation, no amount too small to donate to After the Harvest. Is that right?
No, I mean, this year we've picked up 10 cucumbers once as a donation. So we're happy to get anything that we can get and take it to folks who can use it. Yep.
That's awesome. And then I know your biggest supply comes from through those potatoes, I think. Is that right? The semi-trucks. That's like in terms of bulk.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight. But in terms of individual growers, who's your biggest donator as a grower, as an individual grower? Do you know?
I don't know the specifics, but we have several farms that are commercial who are selling on the market. I can think of one in Wellsville who we're also there basically year-round. Corn, tomatoes, green beans. I mean, just all year we know we're out there twice a week. And then also we have an orchard, Cider Hill, down near Bonner Springs, and we're also there twice a week during the apple season, you know, getting thousands and thousands of pounds. So it's pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot. That's great. And so is this apple season? Are we in apple season?
We are in the thick of it, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes, we're just swimming in apples.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
That's cool. All right. So as far as the growers who are doing this, we've got people are growing their produce to give, but then a lot of times you're also getting what we call seconds, right?
Correct.
These are like the stuff that's not the first choice, the stuff that would sell necessarily.
Correct.
And so you get a lot of that as well.
Yeah, so we will get stuff that maybe didn't grade out, and a lot of times, you know, it might be a little bit oddly colored or oddly shapen for the market. And I use oddly sort of ironically because anyone who's grown produce knows it comes in all shapes and colors and sizes. But we're happy to take it because it's perfectly healthy, it's perfectly nutritious, and it's perfectly safe for consumption. Mm. So we're thrilled to get that as well as the first passes of produce.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I guess there are people who are growing just their primary stuff just for you guys, right? Not just their seconds. They're like
correct. Yeah, some of our growers, and we also have a lot where we're doing true gleanings of those seconds, uh-huh. or something that maybe just wasn't economically viable to take to the market.
Yeah. And gleaning, do you know anything about the history of gleaning? I find it really fascinating.
I know it goes back to biblical times originally, and then has been sort of a part of Western culture ever since then. And the idea initially is that you would leave the corners of the fields for those who need it to come and take it. And now, of course, it's a little more systematic, you know. But yeah, still the same basic idea that you leave a little bit left over for those who need it.
Wow. Yeah. And this is something that I guess we see. You said that there are some commercial growers who do this too.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. So it's not just on the small farms. There's some big farms. But how commercial are we talking? Are we talking about farmland? Is farmland, one of the biggest growers in the country? Are they?
So, yeah, when I say large, we're still talking most about the local, you know, a local farmer who's selling at the local market. More so than national at this point, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But maybe we can hope some of their stuff ends up in harvesters or somewhere.
Yeah. Some of that, the semi-truck loads are from those larger farms. But as far as what we're gleaning locally, it's a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Well, let me jump in because I hear a segue.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
And my segue is that this fine art organization has taken, 10 cucumbers here, some corn there, and they're putting it together and doing great things. We at KKFI do the same thing. We really rely on everybody to pitch in just a little bit. We don't have to worry about seconds, really, although, you know, money's pretty fungible. And if you're listening on KKFI.org in Europe in the middle of the night right now and you want to call in, we will convert your credit card money to American dollars and be glad for your contribution.
Absolutely, yeah.
But if you're a local person hearing over the air and are touched by these people's generosity and what they're doing for the community, you know, it's bad enough to be on hard times and not know where your next meal is going to come from. But imagine if all you ever got was that can of beans that somebody put in the basket, you know, for charity from Hy-Vee or the grocery store. You know, this is an opportunity to get wholesome, fresh food into little children's mouths that really need that food. So I applaud you folks for doing the work you're doing. So again, our number for pledges tonight is 888-931-0901 or kkfi.org. We're talking about sustainability in terms of the environment and growing in terms of food and what we can do to be more sustainable. And as I said before, our sustainable donor program is growing at KKFI. And if you are either a first-time donor or a returning sustaining donor, we have an annual concert that's coming up. It is going to be November 9th at Knuckleheads from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. It is the KC Latin Music Summit. And there are a lot of wonderful bands.
And I believe this is the first. It's planned to be annual, but I think this is the first event of its kind.
Okay, the soon to be annual next year.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. And it is going to be, I guess, sort of hosted or emceed by Mundo Nuevo, a local band.
Mm-hmm. And great stuff. I've got a friend in that group. They're wonderful.
All right.
Yeah. Check it out. So, and the way you could get tickets, how can you get tickets to that?
Well, let me see. How do you get tickets?
Free tickets.
You
right?
can get two free tickets if you call and make a donation.
Wow.
And
that's a deal.
Number to call would be 888-931-0901. And that would be for just a $20 a month or more donation that we put on a credit card. We would be glad to send that out to you. So please call.
So take a friend, take your best friend, go do some dancing. And you could say you were part of the first ever Latin Music Summit. That is, yeah.
Yes.
So it's a one of a kind event for Kansas City now, and you could be part of it. So call 888-931-0901. We'd love to have you do that, and you could be one of our sustained givers, and you could sustain the environment and this wonderful radio station that we're listening to here. So we're gonna be back in just a minute. We're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna do what's called a champion match from Greg Schwartz for a few minutes, and then that will be the time to really make that call so you will get your funds matched by our friend Greg. And so stick around for that. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody.
This is Katrina Robertson of Katrina Y. Robertson, LLC, a law firm pursuing justice in the areas of federal criminal defense, civil rights, and employment discrimination. Our firm is proud to be a community marketing partner of 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and we are honored to support KKFI, our community radio station.
You too can support KKFI. Learn more at kkfi.org/donate.
Support for KKFI provided by AEG Presents, presenting astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson in support of his book Letters from an Astrophysicist at the Arvest Bank Theater at the Midland, Wednesday, October 16th at 7:30 p.m. The book is included on most tickets. Tickets and more information at arvestbanktheater.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. So we've got a friend of the station. His name's Greg Schwartz, and he's offering to donate to the station and match your donation if you call now in the next 3 minutes. So the number is 931-0901, and I would love it if you would make that call, and then Greg will make that match for us. So you could give a little extra now, and every dollar you pledge is going to help out KKFI. So you could take advantage of this time. It's a rare opportunity to make that extra money count. So it's going to double your funds to the station.
Track team standing by that would just love to take your money and talk to you this evening.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've got some wonderful volunteers in the next room who are willing to take your calls, and we really appreciate their time. And you could talk to them and find out why they support the station, and then you can also support the station yourself. So it's a great time to reach out and connect with some people. Call 888-931-0901. So Greg's a generous donor, and we really appreciate what he's doing, and we appreciate what you're doing, what you've done for the station. You're listening, and that's a great thing, but take that extra step. We don't want to call you a freeloader, but you know, that's sometimes, you know, I've felt that myself. I've been that freeloader in the past, and I've taken that step to, you know, hit that phone, pick up the phone and call 888-931-0901. And you know, we all get like that sometimes, but you know, hopefully you're feeling inspired to give a little bit today, because this is a good day to give. So call 888-931-0901. We've just got about a minute and a half before Greg's donation will just fall by the wayside, and we're going to have to ask Greg to...
Imagine a nice juicy apple laying under the tree and no one willing to pick it up and share it.
That's Greg and his apple. He's just waiting for it. It'll become two apples.
It could become two apples. It could be magic here at KKFI.
You could give an extra apple too in the meantime, and you can really feel good about that, and people will save those apples and give them to more people. That's what we do at the station. We spread those seeds around and share community with other people. So today we're talking to great community people who are doing good work and giving, and we know that you're a giver too. So call 888-931-0901 or go to kkfi.org. We've also got a Facebook donation that you could, if you just go to kkfi.org, we've got a Facebook page link there. You could also just go to Facebook and look for KKFI, and you'll find us through that. And we know you want to reach out. We know you want to connect, and so you can connect with our wonderful people in the next room by calling them at 888-931-0901. And we've just got about 20 more seconds before that apple is going to just sit there, and it'll be a sad thing to watch that rot. I'm sure you from After the Harvest would hate to see that when she's at.
Rotten apples are not nice. Yeah,
it's kind of depressing a little bit. So let's pick that up. Let's pick it up. 888-931-0901, and feel good today. All right. Well, thank you to the people calling. I'm sure those of you out there who haven't called, you're making your way to your phone. And we're waiting on your call. So we're going to get back into it and talk more to our guests today about giving and about the work that they do. And let's get back into After the Harvest just a bit. And so After the Harvest is an organization that gives to people who are in need, people who are hungry in Kansas City. And so where are the different places that people can get food through After the Harvest?
Sure. So we have a network of over 300 agencies that we distribute to throughout the season. So, you know, a local food pantry in your area, shelters, be there church pantries, food kitchens. We really try to get distributed as equitably and as to as much of a variety of locations as we can. So hopefully anywhere around town, you'll see some of our produce that we've harvested.
Great. And I know Ponta, you've given some of your produce to some different places. Where do you tend to share?
I tend to share with the campus cupboard at KU. So I go there specifically because, you know, that was my place and my connection with food insecurity. And it's a population of folks that I definitely understand where they're at and their work they're doing to get food secure. I also donate directly to individuals. So if I hear one of community members say, you know, this person is struggling this week, or I see somebody on Facebook post, hey, like, I need some help to get to the next paycheck, I'll try to connect with them and just donate individually as well.
That's great. And so the campus cupboard, that's something that's at the student union or something? People would go
and
pick up stuff
from
there?
Yeah, in the Kansas Union, and it's run by Just Food. So Just Food is the Douglas County food pantry, and they've got a bunch of different satellite locations. We also helped have one established at Haskell Indian Nations University as well. I noticed that KU got theirs and there wasn't one over at Haskell, so I worked with some individuals on leadership over there to get one put up over there as well.
That's great. And so, and Kathy, with Uplift, you are you one of the benefactors of After the Harvest food, or do you collect food from your own sources?
No, we have churches and designated people who cook for us. But the only reason that I can do my cornfield is because of After the Harvest. As I said, I quickly learned on the first day of harvesting the corn, my husband and I were not going to be able to do it. And they just come in, and I think many volunteers came this summer. It was amazing.
Yeah, and it really goes both ways, because without growers, we're just a bunch of loonies out in the field. So, yeah. So we rely on our network of growers as well.
Yeah, yeah. So people who want to get connected with that kind of work, I know I'm a person who loves to, you know, volunteer their time doing physical labor. It's a great way to exercise. So that's what I love picking things and doing things like that. So if people wanted to do that, how would they get connected with After the Harvest?
Yeah, so the easiest way, we do have a volunteer calendar out at our website, and it is aftertheharvestkc.org. And on there, you can find all of our gleanings as well as our market pickups. And yeah, like you said, it's a fun way to spend a morning. You get out in the field, you get to play in the dirt a little bit, and it's very family friendly. So we've had, you know, ages 1 through, you know, 81. So it's good for all ages.
I don't want to discourage anybody out there, but I was looking at your website recently, and all the volunteer positions were filled, which was encouraging, but also, you know, I was like, oh, I guess they don't need me.
Well, you know, we can always find a way to use volunteers. We do also have some office opportunities and outreach opportunities, you know, as we go recruiting volunteers for next season. And also, it's never too early to think about 2020. So we'll have that calendar going here first of 2020 for next year to start thinking about volunteering.
Because we are winding down the season of
correct.
Of harvesting.
Yeah, we're getting winding down apples. We're right now getting into root vegetables, so our sweet potatoes and our rutabagas and turnips, that kind of thing. And then after that, you know, our frost came right on time, even though it was hot until until October. So we'll be wrapping up here November, early December at the latest.
I know there was a huge glut of squash a few years ago. I went out and picked squash a couple times, like 4 or 5 years ago, when you guys were starting out. Is that still a thing? Is there a lot of squash out there?
Yeah, so we did some squash a couple weeks ago. I think this time we got around 1,500 pounds there. But yeah, you know, it's just every year's a little bit different. You just never know. Yeah.
Yeah, makes it exciting. So how was your growing year this year, Ponta?
It has been a very tough year. We have had an immense amount of rain, as I'm sure everyone else knows. Lots of farmers experienced flooding. Locally, we had a tornado rip through a few farms. I got pretty lucky in that one. I'm north of town, that was south of town. So it has been a hard year. I've definitely lost some things to some flooding, but it's also led to some successes in areas I didn't expect as well. So it kind of balanced out, and I got pretty lucky, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you mentioned at your farm, sustainability is an issue for you. So tell us what sustainability means to you.
Sustainability to me means really working symbiotically with the earth. So not looking at a farm as a unit or mechanism of production, but looking at myself as a piece of a system. So there'll be, you know, I'll rotate out crops, for example, not using fossil fuel machinery is another example that I mentioned earlier. But really making it so that the inputs that I'm giving back to the earth match what we're getting out of it, which is always really difficult to do, because really any form of agriculture, even some of the most pristine forms of permaculture, you're still disrupting some form of environment. And ways that I try to mitigate that will be, I'll leave portions of my field to kind of just go a little bit wild. And that's actually helped me a lot. This year's example being extremely wet, I had a whole bunch of frogs and toads that moved in, took out a bunch of insects. The rat snakes followed them, ate some frogs and some toads, and everybody was happy. I had a lot less problems than some of the surrounding farmers had with certain pest issues. So, you know, really being and working symbiotically with everything in the environment is at the heart of sustainability for me.
Heck yeah. How about you, Kathy? When you think of sustainability and your work, what do you think of?
With my garden or with uplift or?
I guess let's go with the garden.
Okay, I think because I'm not at the age that I would like to be, I think I'm just leaning 100% towards Zach. And as I sit here and think about, I didn't realize that you would come to a very small plot. I think I can expand my garden and reach more people, because you've got the hands and the energy. Mm-hmm. I do not. I try everything I can to have a safe environment in my garden. But when you said rat snake, I'm out.
They're friendly, I promise.
A snake is a snake. I'm sorry. I think sustainability would be that we just keep doing the best that we can to help anybody. No one should be hungry. No one should be hungry. And thankful to people like Zach and to you, mm-hmm. and to you for letting us tell about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love it. I love this. My favorite thing to have on here for sure is talking about food and giving away food. So how about you, Zach? When you think of sustainability, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so, you know, when we talk about all of the food that's out there that's going to waste, there was a study that up to 52% of all fruits and vegetables between field to fork actually ends up getting wasted. And it's disastrous for the environment as well for our local food system and our local community needs. And so for me, sustainability is for us to continue to grow our network and work with more growers and build better systems to get that distributed to the folks who need it. And build those sustainable systems so that we can continue to bring that number down.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys are really just starting out. I mean, 5 years is not long for you to build those systems and create that. So, I mean, I'm hoping that you guys will be 1,000 times bigger.
I would love that too. Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that'd be great. Sustaining your great work that you're doing. That's something that we can hope you're able to do. And let's see, what else do we want to talk about? I guess we were interested in, let's see.
Want me to pitch while you're looking,
Dave?
Yeah,
go for it. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So I'm curious. I grew some black beans in my garden this last year. And discovered it's an awful lot of work to shell those beans, to get those little beans out.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it takes an army of people. I think the indigenous communities that are doing things by hand, that's probably what grandma does when she can't, you know, get out and pick anything else. And here at KKFI, we have to, you know, satisfy our bean counters as well, you know. So we have volunteers that help us keep our books balanced. And a big part of that is once or twice a year we have to get on and ask for money, ask for donations. And so I imagine that there are people listening to this show, maybe caught it on the radio on the way home, and they're thinking, wow, those people are doing great things. Well, guess what? You could do great things too if you just give us a call when you get to the point where you can. Again, our number, 888-931-0901, or online, kkfi.org.
Yeah, I know, you know, I listened to the station for many years. I started listening to it when I was in college at KU, and I was, you know, I was one of those freeloaders for a long time, just not contributing, but listening from a distance. And it really wasn't until I moved to Kansas City and started to get more involved in community, in different community groups. And I saw that, you know, people need to do, you know, put their money where their mouth is, put their money where their ideas are and where they want to support things. And that's how, you know, I know that's how After the Harvest works, and that's how Uplift works, and that's how KKFI works as well. It's just people contributing what they can when they can. And I know it's really made me feel better to do that. And it's a really great feeling to do that. It's not just altruism. It's also, you know, making yourself feel positive by doing something positive. So, so I called 888-931-0901, my first time about 5 years ago. And I've done that ever since. So I encourage you to do the same thing.
Kathy, what was that saying you had about donations that are small?
The biggest mistake that we can make is to do nothing, because we can only do a little. And I think something that I want to say about the cornfield, the groups that Zach brought out, one was, I think one day it was a company that just had a team building day, and they had so much fun. I just had fun watching them have fun. And then another group, there was little children. And I love the fact that when the corn is at the perfect time, you just husk it right there. And I always get them to eat an ear of corn, and nobody believes you can do that. Just right in the field. It is so
it's
much
amazing.
Fun.
It's very good.
And then they're like, did you know you could do that? It's so much fun. Everybody, especially if you've grown up in the city, just come to the farm, and it's amazing that everything doesn't come from the grocery store.
Yeah, it's really gratifying. We're going to diverge just for a second, because Ponte, I know you were growing corn this summer, and I happened to see online that you had gotten a little surprise in your corn.
Yeah, I did. I got a really, really amazing surprise. So I'm doing I got a research grant from the USDA, specifically Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education, called SAIR for short. Just kind of looking at indigenous and ancestral Mexica or Mexican growing methods. And in one of my samples, specifically the one sample of the seed that came from the region of Mexico where my great-grandfather came from, actually produced what's called huitlacoche, which is a form of fungus that grows on corn. And if I had to describe the flavor, this is actually the first time I'd ever had it, I would say imagine the sweetest sweet corn you've ever had got together with like a truffle. So you've got like this earthy, sweet, buttery, just delicious fungus, which we call in English corn ear smut, I believe. So it's not the greatest name. I prefer
corn smut, yeah.
I prefer the Nahuatl name, which is huitlacoche. So I got really, really lucky to have that show up in the field, and I just shared it with my two undergraduate researchers. Shout out to Paula and Ash if they're listening.
That's great. It's a great project for them. That sounds really cool. Yeah. So did you just have it on a few ears, or was it
one single ear? It was just one single ear, and it will probably remain in the soil, so I'm gonna plant there again and hope I get a couple more treats like that.
A lot of people don't appreciate that, so that's a great thing to have happen. That's amazing. We want to also provide information for people to connect with what you all are doing. So so no, Ponte, are there any projects that you're working on that people should know more about, or if people want to find out what's something you might pitch out there?
I would definitely say I am currently organizing around having a community garden within the farm. I did set aside an eighth of an acre just to be completely community organized and run and completely donated food. I've had a few people really take that up this year, but I'd really love to see that expand and see that area really utilized and formed in a way that the community wants to see it formed. So there's definitely that opportunity. And the best way to reach me, really, I'm kind of on social media quite a bit, would be through my Instagram page. So you could find me there at Masewal Kuali Farms. Or on Facebook. I try to stay off there as much as possible. I know Instagram is Facebook, but you know. What are you going to do? That's the best way to reach me, to come out and volunteer. And I always love to teach. I was a teacher for 6 years before I switched into agriculture. And so if you're wanting to learn how to do something, or you say, I have no idea what I'm doing, I kill every plant I try to grow, I have a master's in curriculum instruction. I can help you out.
Oh, cool. Wow, yeah. That's all right. Yeah, so you can help those teachers who kids love it. Kids are really into it. We got a great program in Kansas City called the Kansas City, Kansas Organic Teaching Gardens. And there's a guy, Mark Manning, who's one of our greatest volunteers for KKFI. And not only does he do amazing job at KKFI, but he does this great program and works with hundreds and hundreds of kids every year. And the kids are just so happy to be in these programs. I work with the kids when they get older, and they're like, gosh, Mr. Manning, he was so cool. Yeah. and they just love that work. So, yeah. So if you're interested in that kind of work, or if you're a teacher, you can connect with Ponte and you would spell it
MASEUALKULLI.
All right. Yeah. Right on. Right on. And you could also find that a link to that through Eco Radio KC and at KKFI.org. All right. And so as far as after the harvest, what are some different connections people might want to make at this time of year with you all?
Yes, I would definitely, like I said, go to our website, aftertheharvestkc.org, and there we do have our volunteer opportunities as well as an email, volunteer email sign up where you can sign up to see the opportunities as they arise, especially going into next season. One thing I would recommend, you know, as we're not out in the field so much in the winter, is maybe considering connecting with some of the agencies that we do work with around town. That's another way that you can sort of serve the same community in a different capacity.
Very cool. And you guys have any upcoming events or anything that people should know about?
Yes, so we are going to be at Crane Brewery October 25th, Friday.
All right.
And we'll be having a little pop-up fundraising event.
Nice, yeah. Nice. So Crane Brewery, that's a fun place.
Yeah, it'll be
good. I like
that
place a lot, and they're delicious. They have a beet beer right now, which I think is delicious.
I saw it. I haven't really tried it yet, but looking forward to trying it. Yeah.
I think it's great. And I'm not a huge beer fanatic or anything, but that beet beer is something else. All right. And Kathy, how about you? What are some ways that people should connect with?
Well, right now the garden has been put to bed for until spring.
No more corn for now.
I know, but you could find me at Uplift. I'm actually one of the drivers and on the street on Monday nights. And you could go to our web page, which is www.uplift.org, and we have a lot of opportunities for volunteers to go out on the truck. Actually, we're booked up for a couple of months, a waiting list to get on the truck, one of our four trucks. But we always need people to work in the warehouse to help us sort donations and other things like that.
Wonderful. So that's great work. All right. And again, if you're feeling inspired to do some giving yourselves, KKFI, it's a rare thing that we have here. There's only a few community radio stations left in the United States. And Ponta and I were talking about that beforehand. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with the station in the Bay Area, is that right?
Yeah, there's KPFA out in Berkeley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's, you know, one of the, I think there's about 30 community radio stations left out of what used to be hundreds. And so this is a really unique gem that you have in Kansas City, and just an opportunity for people in the community who are interested in things and who want to connect with other people about things that they're passionate about. And we're passionate about the environment and passionate about sustainability and helping other people here at Eco Radio. And that's what we're trying to put out there to people every Monday evening and through our podcasts. And so we want you to engage with that. And so give us a call at 888-931-0901. We've got people on the line who have donated their time, and we appreciate them. And we want you to share your appreciation by calling 888-931-0901 now. We only have a few more minutes left in our program, and I'm not sure. I'm feeling like we didn't make it to our $500 goal, and so now really is the time to help us out. 888-931-0901 or kkfi.org. And so, you know, don't break our hearts here. We don't want to be discouraged when we leave the studio today and find out that you haven't donated. So, you can call us at 888-931-0901, and you should, because it'll make you feel better. Brent, what else do we want to say before we head out here?
Well, there will be opportunities for the rest of the week to call in. KKFI is nothing if it's not diverse in our programming. So if the environment and sharing food isn't your thing, but you're tuning in a little
what
early.
What kind of sicko are you? No, just kidding.
Yeah, for Fiesta Musicale. You know, please.
That's coming up. Yeah, if
it's
like
coming
music,
up
if you're
next,
waiting for that music,
please call in for that show.
That's right.
Because it all goes to a great cause and a great station. So thank you very much for having these guys in. I learned a lot on this show, and it was nice to meet them.
Yeah, we really appreciate you all coming in, and we appreciate the work that you guys do. Any other parting words for our audience out there?
Yeah, I can go ahead and start with that. I would just say, kind of reiterate what I said earlier, if you feel like you're not really sure where you fit into food security, as I'd like to call it, there's a place for everybody. It's not just about growing. It's about being a distributor. It's about even, you know, being actually in service, cooking for people. And the most revolutionary thing you can do, the dishes. So literally you can fit in any one of those categories. You can be a seed saver. You can be a grower, a distributor, or a cook, or you can clean up after the cooking's done. So there's a place for everybody. In food security work, for sure.
All right. Or serve that food to people, you know, who need it out there. So thanks again, everybody, for coming in and your time. And thanks to those who are supporting the station. If you haven't done it yet, do it now, 888-931-0901. And Brent, thank you for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
And stay tuned for Fiesta Musicale coming up after our calendar. And a few more words.
Testing, testing, testing. I like this sound. Here's the calendar of events for the week of October 14th. Tonight, October 14th, Global Warming Discussion, 6:30 p.m., not too late, at Village Presbyterian, room 127, 6641 Mission Road, Prairie Village, park on the south side. Tuesday, October 15th, a showing of the film, Right to Harm, will be 7 p.m. at the Douglas County Fairgrounds Florey Meeting Hall, 2120 Harper Street, Lawrence, Kansas. Filmed across the country, the documentary chronicles the failures of state agencies to regulate industrial animal agriculture. Panel discussion with experts will follow. Tuesday, October 15th, 6:30 p.m. at the Plaza Branch of the Kansas City Library, James Levitt, an expert on land conservation and climate change, examines modern-day large landscape issues, including fragmenting and conservation. RSVP at www.kclibrary.org. Friday, October 18th, 9 a.m., Drawdown Workshop at Raytown Christian Church, 6108 Blue Ridge Boulevard, Kansas City, Missouri. Saturday and Sunday, October 19th and 20th, the Mother Earth News Fair returns to Topeka at the Kansas Expo Center, 1 Expo Center Drive. Sunday, October 20, 2 p.m., Drawdown Getting Into Action Workshop Series at All Souls, 4501 Walnut, Kansas City, Missouri. Finally, Monday, October 21st, you can join the Climate Advocacy Lab's webinar, Building Powerful Volunteer Programs, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., go to climateandenergy.org to register. These items and more can be found on our Eco Radio KC Facebook page. Please listen to Eco Radio KC next week when our guest will be Dr. Hulda Blamaville, pediatrician, talking with our host, Richard Mabian, about lead. Stay tuned now for Fiesta Musicale.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Getting a lot more renewable energy on the grid requires building large solar and wind farms. They can cost hundreds of millions of dollars each. To secure financing for these projects, developers have to prove that they will make that money back over time.
Otherwise, no lender is going to give you a loan to build a project.
Craig Gordon is with Invenergy, a wind and solar developer. He says one way to provide that guarantee is through a power purchase agreement.
A power purchase agreement is simply a contract between a wind farm or a solar farm and a buyer, like a utility or a large industrial customer like Google or Facebook or Microsoft, which enables us to go to the bank and say, look here, bank, we have a 20-year contract with XYZ utility for X amount of dollars. Now will you lend us the money so that we can build this project?
He says entering into these contracts is also valuable for the companies or utilities buying the energy. It locks in a long-term price and shows they have a plan to meet clean energy targets. So a power purchase agreement is a lot more than a legal document. It's a tool to help transition to a clean energy economy. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Eco Radio is produced by a team of collaborators, including yours truly, Craig Lubo, Teresa Wilkie, Dave Bennett, and Brent Ragsdale. Thanks to Ryan Porky for our theme music. I'm Richard Mabian, reminding you to give your feedback by contacting us at ecoradio@gmail.com or reaching out to Eco Radio KC, our Facebook